Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
He's the God that stepped out into nothing, reached back into nothing, grabbed a handful of nothing, threw it into nothing, and everything came to be. I'm talking about a God that creates universes with mere words. Amen. That's the kind of God we're talking about.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
Two words. Two simple words. In fact, really two one-syllable words. They're familiar words. In other words, you've spoken these two words to someone else undoubtedly many times, I'm sure, in the moment of their need, when they were hurting, you may have been impressed to give them these two words as an encouragement. I have no doubt somewhere along the way someone has encouraged you with this. Two simple words. You've probably prayed them in your prayer many times. Two repeated words, two familiar words. Here they are. Trust God. Trust God. That's what I want you to hear tonight. So more than likely, over and over, I'm going to say this tonight, these two simple words. In fact, just go ahead and say them with me. Trust God. One more time. Trust God. Hey, I believe that these words are very necessary every day, in every way, in every category, in every subcategory of your life. We need to come to a place where we ought to trust God. I thought about several places in the Word of God where this message comes through loud and clear, but I believe I want to just preach from probably the most familiar few verses regarding two simple words, trust God. It's out of Proverbs chapter 3. Many of you could probably repeat these two verses without even looking. But in Proverbs chapter 3, we are exhorted, and really it's a command. Actually, it's a command. It's instruction that's given right away. There's four lines in two verses, and the first one is the command. And here's what this says in Proverbs chapter 3. Beginning in verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. What's the last part? And He will direct your paths. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will direct your... Can I put emphasis on some other words? Trust the Lord with, watch this, all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. In, watch this, all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct you. When I hear these four lines, here's what I want you to see as I break this down really quickly. The first line is the command. It's not an invitation to do it if you feel like it. It's written in the imperative mode. It is a command from God to His Son. Trust the Lord. There's the command. With all your heart. Now, the next two lines describe the command. In other words, how do I do that? Well, God says, let me give you some information. Let me help you a little bit with some clarification, with some explanation of my command that you ought to trust the Lord with all your heart. Here's an explanation. Number one, lean not on your own understanding. I know it doesn't look the way it should look. I know you can't figure it all out. I understand that it's confusing when you think about it, and you aren't smart enough to know the answer, and I'm not good enough to have it all figured out. I realize it doesn't all add up. Well, that's okay, my friend, because your understanding and my understanding is not what it takes to get through this moment, thank God. He's telling you, I've got it figured out. Trust the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. Here's the next bit of explanation, the next bit of instruction. In all your ways, give acknowledgement to Him. And the last line is a promise for the man who will choose to follow the command. The promise is this: I will direct your path. Some translations say this: I will make your path straight. How many feel like most days you're walking a crooked road? Amen. Simple words. Trust God. Simple words, right? Trust God. Simple to say, often very difficult to do. I wrote this down. Listen to this. I believe this is true. The longer we run the Christian race, the longer we strive to do this, guys, the more of life we experience, the more we will realize how difficult these two simple words, simple one-syllable words, trust God, how difficult they can be to obey. Anybody in the room going through something tonight that you're finding a difficulty to trust Him with all your heart in that moment? Some of you may be thinking, well, this is a wonderful message, David. I think this is going to really apply to somebody in the room tonight. Somebody needs to hear, trust God. I'm praying for that guy in the room. This is what somebody's thinking. The guy in the room that needs to hear this message. I'm thankful it's not me tonight, David, that I've got this part figured out. Here's what I want to do very quickly. I want to prove to you that everybody in this room, if you're upright and breathing, have a problem with trust God. Okay? And here's how I want to do that. Very spiritual way. I want to talk about The Late Show with David Letterman. Very spiritual now. How many ever watched David Letterman late at night? He used to do this thing. I don't know. I don't even think he's still on TV anymore, but he used to do this thing called the Top 10 List. Anybody remember? Every night he did the top 10 list. Okay, so here we're going to have the top 10 list. I want you to listen to this. And the question would be, David, do I have a problem trusting God? And here's what I want to do to prove to you that all of us need a portion of this sermon tonight. Here we go. The top 10 ways you know that you have problem trusting God. Are you with me? Say amen. Amen. Number 10, when you cling to others in order to feel needed or secure or loved, you don't trust God. Number 9, when you step in and take charge without being led by the Spirit of God, you don't trust God. Number 8, when you attempt to manipulate and maneuver situations on your own, you don't trust God. Number 7, when you give a higher priority to human counsel than you do to God's instruction, you don't trust God. Number 6, when you turn to others first for help, then you don't trust. Number 5, when you doubt biblical truths and the promises in God's word that you love and you study, when you doubt them, you don't trust God. Number 4, when you, I'm about to plow close to somebody's corn on this one. Number 4 is a big one. When you lie awake at night, twisting and turning in your bed, because of the thoughts that are circling your mind, it's because you don't trust God. I'm preaching to me tonight, brother. Don't think I'm preaching to you, man. Number 3, when you hurry ahead toward an answer and do not wait on the Lord's answer, you don't trust Him. Number 2, when you try, watch this, when you try to fix what is impossible, you don't trust God. And the number one way to know that you don't trust God, here we go, when you choose to worry. So let me ask this. Anybody in the room tonight have trouble trusting God? Raise your hand. You're not alone. I didn't come to preach you a message tonight. Derek, I told Derek, up, we were checking in. I said, brother, I'm about to preach you a sermon tonight, because he was telling me about some things he's struggling with. Everybody in the room struggling tonight. You say, you don't even know my name, David. You're upright and breathing. You're a human being on this earth. You're struggling. We all are in some area of our life. And I believe in some way, we all struggle with trusting God. So let me just do this for a few minutes. Since we've all recognized that we all need God to speak to us within the confines of this two-word sermon, trust God, I just want to offer you some questions and then fill in those questions with some thoughts. Really simple tonight. It really says easy sermon. Here's the first question I want us to look at. Why do we struggle to trust God? Why do we struggle to do it? I made a list when I was looking at this sermon. I had five or six things written down. But the more I looked at this list, brother, the more I realized all five or six of those things really fell into two categories. They would all neatly fit into one of two categories. Let me just give you two reasons why anybody in this room, whatever you're thinking about and struggling, you know, everybody's got something on your mind right now you're thinking about where you're not trusting Him. I am. God's got that one thing. It's on your heart right now. I'm going to tell you one of two reasons why you're struggling to trust Him with that thing right now. Reason number one, why do we struggle to trust God? Number one, because we choose to doubt God. Number one reason why we struggle to trust is doubt. Let me teach you a little bit for a few minutes. When you are in doubt, your life is asking a question. Doubt asks a specific question. Here's the question doubt asks. Will God do it for me? That's the question that doubt asks. Will God do it for me? Now, let me get personal. Let me talk to you from my life, okay? When it comes to the question of doubt, will God do it for me? You see, David usually does not have a problem with doubting if God can do it. How many of you know He can? We don't struggle with God can do it. I struggle with will God do it for me? You see the difference? How many of you know He's capable? How many know He's a God that's able? I'm talking about a God that at one time in time, before time even existed, He's the God that stepped out into nothing, reached back into nothing, grabbed a handful of nothing, threw it into nothing, and everything came to be. I'm talking about a God that creates universes with mere words. Amen. That's the kind of God we're talking about. The God that can do whatever He wills to do. He's that kind of God. You believe in that kind of God tonight? You see, I don't have trouble doubting if He can. My doubts lie in this question, will He? Will He do it? That's where I start to struggle. Let me even get more specific to me. I don't even really struggle doubting, will God do it for you? Think about it. I'll pray for you, brother, with all my heart, believe in every word. I'll cover you with oil, lay hands on you, dance around in circles, shout hallelujah, and believe everything that I pray will happen in God's will for your life. I can stand in faith for you, but when it comes to the same situation in my life, I'll shake in my boots because I wonder, will He do it for me? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Yeah. You know, the beautiful thing, and this just crossed my mind. This isn't in my notes. The beautiful thing about this point right here. You remember a sermon about four guys that believed Jesus enough that they picked up the corners of a mat that their friend was lying on and carried him to where Jesus was? You remember the power of their faith? They couldn't get to Jesus the same way everybody else was. See, the house was full. It says there were people even standing out of the door, you see. But they knew that what was on the inside of that house was exactly what their friend needed. He didn't have enough faith to get there, but they had enough faith not just to take him to the house, but to not stop when the crowd was getting in their way. How many of you have quit before because the crowd was standing in your way? But these men believed so much that they got up the house, up on the roof. The Bible says they dug down through the roof, lowered him down to where Jesus was. And then an interesting verse comes right here where it says that Jesus saw their faith and ultimately forgave that man of his sins and healed him of his ailment because of the faith of somebody else. I'm grateful for these men that came in here with me tonight, because on the days that I'm struggling and I'm doubting, will he do it for me? I got some brothers that will reach out into eternal places for me, believing where my faith falls short. When I'm struggling to trust God, you need some brothers that'll get around you in this place, put their hands on you, reach up to where God is, and pray for you, believing. So when your doubt's struggling, God can see their faith and move on your behalf. But I didn't come to preach about somebody else's faith tonight. I came to preach to your faith and to mine. We ought to be people that can trust God. One of the reasons we don't is because of doubt. Here's the second reason. Second reason why we struggle to trust God. Number two, because we choose to worry. First reason's doubt. Second reason is what? See, there's a difference in these two. We can lump them together. They're really not the same thing. Doubt asks this question I already told you, will God do it for me? Worry asks a completely different question. Here's worry's question, can I do it for me? See the difference? Doubt is saying, God, will you do this for me? Worry says, can I do it for me? Here's what happens when we worry. I'm hoping, man, this just lit me up today as God was just solidifying this concept. How many people worry in here? Anybody struggle with worry? Some people are just born that way. Some people it takes the right type of circumstances in your life. But we can all get to a place of worry. All of us can. And here's what happens when we're worrying. When we're worrying, we have the equation. My problem and the answer to my problem should be God. Capital G-O-D. Whatever your problem is, the answer is God. Let me say that one more time. Whatever your problem is, the answer is I came in here tonight. We circled up with these guys. I said, here in a little bit, we're going to offer you the opportunity to come and pray with some of these guys that just believe in faith with you. I said, now, guys, I have no idea what needs are going to be represented by the men in this room. There may be some guys looking for salvation tonight. There may be some family issues they're praying for, some court dates they're praying for. Could be any kind of thing. But don't let that worry you, because the answer is the same no matter what the problem is. It's Jesus. But this is what happens when we worry. We take the equation, my problem equals God as the answer. We eject God out of there and you put your name in there. Now, here's what it looks like. My problem answer is David. The only thing about it is I ain't the smartest guy in the world, but I am smart enough to know that I can't fix the issues that I'm dealing with. I can't do it. Neither can you. You can't fix your problems, right? Hey, if you could fix your problem, brother, you wouldn't be worrying about it, would you? You just go fix it. I'm talking about the stuff that you don't have the answer for. I'm talking about the issues that you can't reach out and touch. So you ever had a problem, you don't even know how to pray for it? I don't even know what to pray, God. I'm supposed to be praying. I don't even have words about this one. But I'm going to put my name as the answer to this problem. And I don't even know how to fix it. Here's what happens. Now listen to me. I'm teaching you tonight. When we choose to try to fix a problem or a circumstance that we already know we can't fix, worry is the automatic outcome. Worry automatically comes when we choose to try to fix what we know we can't fix. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. John 15:5, Jesus is very clear about worry. Here's what he says. He says, I am the vine. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are just a branch. Okay? Now, I don't know if he put the emphasis on it that way, but I think that's kind of how he meant it. I am the vine. You're just a branch. You take a branch off the vine, guess how much it's worth? Nothing. How many people ever thrown a branch on the ground and watched it grow fruit? Nobody. Because a branch detached from the vine is useless. You might as well throw it in the burn pile. It's not worth anything. Jesus said, if you want to be worth something, if you want to have value, you got to stay tied into the vine. Because the life-giving fluids flow through the vine into the branch. I am the vine. You're just branches. If any man abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But here's the most important line of the verse. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's pretty blunt. You know, you can't squeeze a what can I do out of that line right there. Jesus, what am I supposed to do? You can do nothing. I'm the vine. That requires, on your behalf and mine, complete dependence. And that's not a word that guys are really great about hanging on to. How many of you really like to think about yourself being dependent on somebody else? We don't care for that, do we, fellas? No, we're raised in a world that tries to drill this into our brain. You need to be independent. You need to not have to count on anybody. You don't need to have to lean on anybody. You need to be able to handle it on your own. You need to be able to say, I got this. I can handle this. I can do this. I'm the one. You know what? I can't even walk without him holding my hand. Right? I thought number one would surely be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but I can't even walk without him holding my hand. When we start living independently of God instead of dependent on God, worry is an automatic outcome. When you worry, you do not trust God. Listen to this statement, and I know it sounds a little bit negative right now, but I'm about to flip the switch, okay? We're going to get over to the good stuff, but I want you to hear me out when I say this. We will never, everybody say never. Never. We will never fully outgrow our tendency to struggle with trusting God. Now, I recognize that that's not what you want to hear, but if you listen to me, it may help relieve a little burden off of you. Let me teach you for just a minute. We will never fully outgrow our tendency to struggle with trusting God. Why, David, would you say something like that? Because you are always going to be operating in this flesh. And inside your flesh and inside my flesh is a sin nature who's at its very core rebels against God. And so when the hard punches of life come, okay, you know, when there's something right around the corner in life and I don't even know it's there, it's not something I'm expecting, it's not something I got a plan for. If this ever happens, here's what I'll do. It's not that moment. And I come around the corner and life hits me in the gut and it knocks my breath out and I wasn't expecting it. You know what's going to happen? Your automatic reflex in life, your fleshly, natural response is going to be to not trust God but to try to start fixing an issue. Okay, but here's the good news. We can get better and better and better at decreasing the amount of time it takes me to say, fooey with me doing it my way. I'm sick of worry and doubt. I'm getting away from the way I used to do it. God, I'm turning over to you. See, well, here's my thing. I'm ready to get to that a lot faster than I used to. All right, see, my problem is I'm sick of staying over in worry and doubt so long that it starts to affect me physically. I'm telling you, I've put myself in the doctor's office with worry before. Me, the preacher, I have. But I don't live that way anymore. Does that mean that I don't struggle with worry from time to time? No, but it means I'm sick of sitting there. And when I recognize that that's where I'm at, I choose to trust God instead. And I'm hoping that you and I can learn to get there a lot faster than we used to, amen? That's what this sanctification process is all about. The longer you walk with him, the more you'll become like him, the more history you'll have with him, and the quicker you will get to where he is instead of operating the way you used to. All right. The next question I want to address, really this is the last question, so here we go. I want to show you this. Why should we trust God? Okay? Why should we trust God? I want to give you three reasons why you can trust him. And if I went around the room with the microphone, I'm not going to do it. Put it in your face and said, all right, I want you to tell us that thing that you're struggling to trust him with. What is it? What's the thing you're burdened with tonight? What's the thing you're hurting over tonight? What's got you confused and perplexed? And what is it? What's that thing? We'd go around the room and hear all kinds of stories tonight. You don't have to do that. I'm telling you tonight, he's trustworthy. He is worth placing your trust in. With whatever your problem is, I'm going to give you three reasons why. Number one, his plan is perfect. Everybody say, his plan is perfect. His plan is perfect. Here's what that means to me, guys. God knows what he's doing. When I don't know what he's doing, he knows what he's doing. Because his plan is perfect. God always has a plan. Always. He's always got a plan. How many of you grew up watching one of God's greatest TV shows ever? He had a hand in this one, The A-Team. Anybody? Anybody watch The A-Team? Hey, B-A. I just wanted to be a swole up black guy for a lot of my childhood because of that dude right there. But there was a guy on that show named Hannibal Smith. Remember that? And about three quarters of the way through every one of those A-Team episodes, Hannibal always said the same line. Remember what he used to say? I love it when a plan comes together. Right? I love it when a plan comes together. Let me tell you something about God. God has never stopped to wonder what the plan should be. God ain't ever had to put a plan together. God has always had the plan. He's always known what the plan is, and he's always known his plan was going to work. He's never had to doubt what he put into effect. He is bigger and better even than Hannibal Smith. He loves it when his plan comes together, and it's going to come together. It's a perfect plan. But the thing that gets me, man, just drives me crazy with God. Anybody got some things about God you just kind of say, come on, God. Here's what I know. He's always got a plan, and he don't ever let me in on what it is. He won't tell me what the plan is. I think it would be easier if he'd say, David, come over here. Come here. Come here. I don't want everybody hearing this. Just me and you. Come here. All right, David, we're going to do A and B and C. I'm going to skip D, go right to E, and then F is going to happen. That's the plan. You got it, David? I got it. I'd be cool then. Would you be all right if you knew the plan? Here's why he don't share the plan. Because as soon as he would let me get on the plan, I would stop trusting God and start trusting what? The plan.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas, 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.